Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the seventh day of Elul, Tavshin Pei Gimel. Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Beis. Amish is going to talk about the features or the privileges that Yerushalayim had over Yavna when it comes to blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah that fell on the Shabbos. One privilege, which is not mentioned in our Mishnah, is that Yerushalayim, they would blow on Rosh Hashanah, fell on the Shabbos, both in the presence of a Beis Din and not in the presence of the Beis Din. Anywhere in Yerushalayim, they would blow. In Yavne, they would only blow it in front of a Beis Din. Our Mishnah is going to tell us another privilege that Yerushalayim had. To understand this Mishnah better, it'll fit in better according to the Pirush of the Rambam. We have a Machlokes Rashi and Rambam as to whether when it says Mikdosh, does it mean Yerushalayim or does it mean strictly the Mikdosh? We will learn the Mishnah first according to the Rambam, who learns that when it says Mikdosh, it means all of Yerushalayim. Make it a lot easier to understand our Mishnah. What advantages, what privileges Yerushalayim had during the time that the Beis HaMikdosh was up over Yavna, where it shifted. The Beis Din HaGadol shifted after the Churban HaBayis, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, V'oidzois hoysa Yerushalayim Yisrael Yavna, a further privilege that Yerushalayim had over Yavna in respect of Rosh Hashanah Felna Shabbos was as follows. Shekol Iru Shehe Roya, any city that could see Yerushalayim, to exclude a city that was, let's say, in a valley, it might be close, but it can't see Yerushalayim. V'shoimas, and it's able to hear the sound of the shofar that's being blown in Yerushalayim, to exclude a city, for example, on the top of a mountain, which could see Yerushalayim but can't hear it. Ukroiva, and it's close to Yerushalayim, which means to exclude a city that's outside the Tum, for example. V'yecholah labai, and it has the ability to come, the people in that city have the ability to come, to exclude a city that might be close, maybe near, may be able to hear, and may be able to see, but there's a river running in between them. So as long as all these four conditions are present, token, they could blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah Felna Shabbos as if they were in Yerushalayim. They have the same thing. Yerushalayim extends to those little cities on the outer perimeter if it had those all these four conditions. Whereas, v'yavna l'ho yotokin ela b'beistin b'vad. Whereas in Yavna, they would only blow in the presence of a Beis Din, as we mentioned in the Hakdama, as mentioned in the introduction. So these are the two advantages, really. Number one, in Yavna, you had to be in front of a Beis Din. And number two, there were no satellite cities that could have the same exemption or privilege as Yavna to blow on Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Yerushalayim did have these two privileges, which Yavna did not have. As we explained, this Mishnah fits in beautifully according to the Rambam, where in the times of the Beis HaMikdosh, they would blow Rosh Hashanah, they fell on the Shabbos, in all of Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah wants to tell us it wasn't just in Yerushalayim, but extended to these outer cities with their four conditions. Problem is that if we learn like Rashi, however, we have a problem, because Rashi seems to say in his Pirush, Rashi learns, that when it says Mikdosh, it means only Mikdosh, not Yerushalayim. And if that's the case, it's astonishing, because when the Mishnah says Loi Bamdina, they did not blow it in the Medina, it means not even in Yerushalayim would they blow it. It was strictly in the Mikdosh. So according to Rashi, they would not blow on Shabbos, the Rosh Hashanah fell on the Shabbos, anywhere but the Beis HaMikdosh. And if that's the only place they're blowing it in, what does our Mishnah mean? That any city that's close and you can hear the sounds from Yerushalayim and there's no river in between, etc. If Yerushalayim itself didn't have the privilege of blowing it, only the Mikdosh, why would these little cities outside that have the same privilege when Yerushalayim didn't even have it? And for this reason, Tosfos has to explains our Mishnah is talking about advantages about Yerushalayim after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, in the period between the Churban and when the seat of the rabbinate of the Sanhedrin moved to Yavne. And indeed, that's how the Ravid also learns in his comment on the Rambam Hilchos Shofar. He says, "Bizman shebeis hamikdash lahoya tokin al mikdash." They would only blow in the mikdash, but in the times when it was destroyed, vacharev, then they would blow in the cities nearby. It's a difficult explanation. The Tosfos Yom Tov says he doesn't know why. Why should Yerushalayim be different to Yavne when Yerushalayim was in its churban, in its destructive state? And furthermore, it's hard to learn that for Rashi, because Rashi says Va'odzos Hos Yerushalayim Boda Binyana. The Yerushalayim had its further advantage when it was built. And therefore, the Tosfos Yom Tov wants to learn that when Rashi says in the Mishnah, Avaloibam dinah, not in the countryside, not in Yerushalayim, nor in the outside Yerushalayim, anywhere outside in Israel, the kavonad is not that they didn't blow at all in Yerushalayim. Rather, it wants to say that there was a difference between the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. That in the Mikdash they would blow on Rosh Hashanah, Fel, and Shabbos, even when the Beis Din were not sitting. But in Yerushalayim, they would blow it, but the Beis Din only during the period the Beis Din would be sitting in judgment in court, which is basically until noon, until lunchtime. But Yerushalayim still had that advantage over Yavne, because in Yerushalayim they would blow as long as the Beis Din was sitting, but they didn't have to be in front of the Beis Din. And in addition, every city that was close by, and this is how the Tosfos Yom Tov learns to be able to answer for Rashi, because otherwise very difficult to learn how Rashi fits in into the Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah is actually recorded in Masechet Sukkah, exactly the same Mishnah, and it's brought here because we're talking about the takonos that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Borishayna, in the beginning, when the Beis Mikdash was up, Hoya halulav nitol by Mikdash Shiva, the lulav would be taken for 7 days of Sukkot, only in the Mikdash. As the Torah says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Shivasyam, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. But the key words are before the Lord your God, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, i.e. in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash area, yes, you do it for 7 days. You take your lulav, your esrog, the dalad minim, and you rejoice there. Uvam dina, outside the base of Mikdash, or according to the Rambam, outside Yerushalayim, Mikdash means Yerushalayim, the lulav would be taken yom echad, only 1 day. As indeed the Torah says, Lekachtem lechem b'yom harishon, in the first day of Sukkot, that's all you do. However, as far as Shabbos is concerned, when the Beis HaMikdash was up, it would override the Shabbos, both in the Mikdash and in the Medinah, outside, they're all equal. That means that if the first day Yom Tov fell on a Shabbos, they would take the lulav, and it would be Docha Shabbos, even in the Medinah, even outside Yerushalayim, whereas the other days of Sukkot, it would not be Docha the Shabbos, even in the Mikdash. So this was when the Beis HaMikdash was up. Misha Chara Beis HaMikdash. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehei Lulav Nital Bamdina Shiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that the Mikdash, we want people even outside the Yerushalayim to take the Lulav for 7 days. Why? There's no mitzvah to do it of the Torah then. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said we want people to do it outside the Medina, outside the Mikdash as well, Zeichel Mikdash, to keep a memory of what happened in the Mikdash. And we learn from a Pasuk in Yahu that there's a mitzvah to remember and make a Zeicher of what was going on in the Mikdash. It's based on a Pasuk in Yimri Yahu, chapter 30, Tzion hi Doresh en la. Tzion, she is a marker, she is a Tzion, and there's no one inquires about it. Doresh en la, no one's paying attention to it. I.e. the prophet there is begging and asking, we should make it a Zeicher, we should make a memory of it. And therefore they said, yes, we want people to take the, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we want people to bench Lulav and Esrog, even anywhere, all over the place, even for 7 days, not just 1 day, Zeicher LeMikdash. However, not Shabbos. If it falls on Shabbos, they cannot take the Lulav even on day one, because they're worried you might carry 4 Amos Nishus HaRabim. And finally, says the Mishnah, V'sheyehe Yom Hanef Kolei Osir. A further takana made in Rabban Zakkai was that the day of the Hanef means waving, the day they waved the Omer, i.e. 16th day of Nisan, 2nd day of Pesach, it's Osir to eat the new produce, the Tevuch HaDasha. The Pasuk says that when you come to the land of Israel, which I'm giving you, you'll take a harvest. You shall harvest the Omer and bring it to the Kohen. And you cannot eat the fresh produce ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the day you bring the korban of Hashem. So from here we learn that it's also to eat from the new produce before they offered the Omer, that was called the Omer, on the 16th day of Nisan. Now, when the Beis HaMikdash was up, as soon as the Omer was offered, you're allowed to immediately eat from the Tuach HaDasha, from the new produce. That's what the Torah says, ad haviyachem, until you offer the korban. So after they offered the Omer korban, that mincha, the chadosh, the new produce that had taken shape or become ripe, is now permissible to be used and to be eaten. But after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, no longer can you eat on the 16th day of Nisan. Now the whole day is going to be osur to eat from the chadosh. Now why? Why did he do this takana? And here we have two different approaches brought in the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos asks, what do you need Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to make this takana? The Torah says you cannot eat lo soichol ad etzem hayom hazeh until this day. That's what Rabbi Yehuda asked. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk is telling us that when the Beis HaMikdash was not up, you cannot eat the Chadosh for the whole day. The whole day of 16 Nisan is banned. Well, if that's the case, you don't need Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to make a takana for that. The Torah says you can't eat it. The Gemara explains, however, according to this explanation, that when our Mishnah says Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana, he means he found a place, he found a psukim to support that idea. He publicized it, this din, that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you cannot just eat it now, or they used to maybe eat it by lunchtime because they would have offered the korban when the Beis HaMikdash was up, but the whole day is osur. That's one way of understanding it in the Gemara. The second way of understanding the Gemara is a very interesting one, and that is that according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, when the Torah says, ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this day, it does not include the day. Which means that minat Torah, when there's no Beis HaMikdash up, Chadosh is only osur until the morning rays of the 16th day of Nisan. When dawn breaks, when the sun shines on the 16th day of Nisan, that's it, you can eat Chadosh. That's if there's no Beis HaMikdash up. If there is a Beis HaMikdash, you got to wait for the korban to be brought. So, why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai become so strict after the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and say, no, we're not going to let you eat for the whole 16th day? And the reason for this takana was because Meretz Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash will be built next year. And what happens is, after Beis HaMikdash is going to be up, people are going to say, well, last year we ate from the Chadosh, as soon as the morning sun rises, as soon as the sun rose on the 16th day of Nisan, so we'll do that now as well. But they don't realize that last year, and the year before, and the year before, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, we were able to eat as soon as it was daylight, because there was no Omer being brought. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is built, we have to wait till after the Omer is being brought, as it says, Ad Aviyachem es Korban Elokeichem. For this reason, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that after the Churban, we are so worried about people making this mistake that even though technically Minat Torah, the day of the 16th day of Nisan, you're allowed to eat the Chadosh immediately, we're going to say, no, don't eat it the whole day. And then people won't make a mistake next year when Emet Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, will be built.